So if it didn't work in the cast iron, I wouldn't do it. It's not like I have to do pizza. It's just
you gonna let us talk, or is this gonna be your show?
Well, how far you want me to go? No, with the story?
I like it. It makes it easier.
I mean, you've been filibustering, dude.
Hey, I got
Cajun style pizza. Come and take a seat. A pizza, it's time to eat.
All right, episode 10 of Charred New Haven Pizza Show. We are here in Seymour. We're at Cast Iron Chef Pizza and Bar with Attilio and Frank. This is I've been looking forward to this one.
Attila the Hun is what I call him.
Honey, honey.
Honey. What a face only a mother can
love. Good thing, right?
And yeah, it's beautiful inside here. I know this has been a couple different spots over the years, but how long have you been here?
7 weeks. We opened up April 4th. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. 7, 8 weeks. Not even 8 weeks yet.
But this ain't your first rodeo, though. Tell us about your history. I know your mom or your parents where you started in, I think, Bridgeport.
Yeah, Trumbull, we started right? Bridgeport. Well, we started Bridgeport back in 1988, September of 88 on Madison Avenue.
What was the date?
It was Marissa's.
What was the day?
I don't remember exactly, but I know it was
Make
September.
It up.
Make it up. September 10th.
That's good.
We started in Bridgeport back then. Then we moved to Trumbull in 97. Still Marissa's. And then I created the Cast Iron Chef. Rebranded myself as a Cast Iron Chef. And we did that for 1 year in Trumbull. And then in December 24th of 2017, I opened up Cast Iron Chef Chop House in New Haven on
Boom.
State Street. And from there, the cast iron pizza concept evolved as a byproduct of my mother making dough for bread that we were serving at the restaurant. And I used to just tell her, just make me some 8 ounce dough balls and just put them to the side.
Yep.
But prior to that, when we had Marissa's in Trumbull and I was doing some cast iron, I had taken the pizza that we were doing up there, and I just experimented just using a regular skillet. So it wasn't like this. It was actual, yeah. You know, steak skillet.
Yeah.
And I was just surprised at how different the pizza tastes with the exact same ingredients. And then when I was opening up New Haven, I happened to find this pan in one of the catalogs. And I said, okay, now I could really experiment with the pizza. And not that I was going to go anywhere with it. I just always liked it just for personal. And then I would just make it for my staff. And they would be like, well, like, this is too good not to do something with. What are you doing with this? And at the point, it was really nothing. It was just something to play with. It, sure. It had no intentions. It took about 2 years to tweak it here and there with the dough. And it's really been a constant evolution. I think I can never say, oh, we're done. There's always a way to tweak it, whether it's timing, dough, cheese, all these little things that, you know, go into whether you're making a New Haven style, a Neapolitan, any kind of pizza has its own nuances. And it's simple when you know what you're doing. But to get there, there's a lot of trial and error. And, you know, it's something that I'm not a pizza person as much as I am cast iron.
Don't let us talk, or is this going to be your show?
Well, how far you want me to go with the story?
I like it. It makes it easier.
I mean, you've been filibustering, dude.
Hey, I got two people listening. That's all I need. I only really need myself, but if I got two other people listening to me, I'll just keep going on.
It sounds like Frank came with questions over
there. Oh, yeah, I got a lot.
He's ready to fire.
I had to get him out of his mode, though, because he'll just keep rolling.
I thought it was a cast iron charge show. I don't know.
It is.
It is, yeah.
So basically, that's really how that. And then I started in Milford, and I sold that. And this opportunity really came about overnight. And my biggest problem was really trying to find an oven that can be consistent. I think that was the hardest thing. And that's what I was a little bit let down before, that when I was practicing with it in New Haven, I was only making one or two. So you can perfect those. But But the volume
make it 100
created a whole different set of obstacles. So finding an oven that worked for this style, you know, it took me a little time to find it. And then once I went into practice with it, I went to Boston, of all places, to try out the oven. And it really now allowed me to set forth a vision of how to do this on a mass scale. And it's, you know, it's been really well. And, it, you know, the pans are, you know, the pans start at a little over 500. So when we put it in the oven, the pan's already hot. And really, that's the trick. And even here, if the pan...
You're giving your secrets away?
A little bit.
So you got two ovens, basically. One to heat the cast iron, then one to make the pizzas.
It. Yeah.
And when you put the pizza together, is it cold right to the pan?
Yeah, so the pizzas are made in the pan.
Okay.
As opposed to making them on a peel.
Yep.
And then sliding them in.
Right.
You have to put the dough in here first.
Yep.
And then you build around it.
You gotta tell us what these are.
Yeah, let's go down
I
the
can't
line
really
right
wait
now.
That much longer.
So this is what we call the Brooklyn style. So the cheese is on the bottom, yep, and the sauce is on top. Mm. This here is what we now added on as in New Haven style, because a lot of people really don't understand this style because it's not something that we is really known in Connecticut.
Surfboard. Have the,
look at that.
And if you
no
show
flaw.
The bottom,
dog,
I mean, you can just
look at that.
Beautiful. Yeah, because people see the sauce on top and they think deep dish, or they think, yeah, they don't understand. Right.
Right. So part of the reason I did it this way was with the duration of the cooking, I had to protect the cheese.
Yeah.
And this, when you eat this one as opposed to this, this is sauce forward.
Yep. Yeah.
This is cheese forward. Now, if you're used to just having cheese on top, you're going to say, oh, well, that doesn't taste right. It's the same exact amount of sauce and cheese on both pizzas.
It's just flipped.
Just flipped.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It. So the sauce underneath here, when you bite into it, the first thing you're going to taste is cheese. Over here, the first thing you're going to taste is sauce.
Yeah. Nice.
You know?
Frank, you going to pass one down?
No. That's mine, baby.
You got the whole pizza.
I'll give you one.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you.
So people are like, oh, where's the cheese? It's the same exact amount of cheese on both pizzas. Yeah. It's just the way that the sauce sitting on top, it, you know, cooks
good.
Differently too. It has the sauce gets concentrated because it's exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So the whatever liquids are in the tomatoes get concentrated. So you get a very strong tomato.
You do get that taste right in front. Yeah,
right in front, right. Yeah. Where this, you'll get the taste of the, you know, the salt and the oil and the cheese first. You know, and the sauce gets masqueraded.
Yeah,
underneath, you know, it's just a really a preference.
That's a big word, dude. Masqueraded.
Masqueraded, yeah.
Do you have to factor in the timing when you're gonna drop these at the table? Because doesn't it still cook in the pan?
So the other dilemma we have is the fact that the pizza is designed to be served in the pan.
Right.
So we account for an extra 10 minutes at this pan. You know, starts when it comes to your table, it's at 500.
Yeah.
Okay. Goes down to 545. It probably takes 15 minutes to get down to 300. But within that, I'm sure within that 15 minutes, it's still continuously cooking, you know? And so when you take it right out of here and put it in a box, you stop the cooking process.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, we're trying to get the timing where it has enough for takeout, but it also allows us to have carryover temp.
Right.
So I know this is kind of a real unique concept, but I would term this more personally as like cast iron New Haven style.
And that's where the influence was from.
Yeah.
Was to try to replicate the crispiness of a New Haven. Obviously, you don't get the char because we're not cooking it in the coal. The temperatures we're cooking at are a little bit lower, maybe 100 degrees lower.
Mm-hmm.
But we can get the crispiness, the crunch without that char. So, you know, it's just a different style. I just believe that, you know, we like what we like, but we also like to try something different. And you know, we're just giving a different experience. And this is a cast iron pizza experience.
Yeah. What about that one, Frank?
This pizza's still hot.
Oh, yeah, because the fan.
Super hot. And it's been sitting out there 10 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, the pan's, yeah, you can't pick up the pan. I mean, I could touch it, but I can't really lift it.
So, has there been an education process with people who kind of come in here and they may be thinking they're getting like a traditional New Haven?
Well, more so, it's they don't know what to expect if they never had it before, okay? Mm. So you hear pan, and automatically you already have a preconceived notion of what a pan pizza is supposed to look like, okay? Whether it's a Chicago, Detroit,
yep.
Greek style. So there is a little bit of a learning curve, but, you know, being that we're so close to New Haven, people are just creatures of habit of what they're used to.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it just takes time sometimes for people to accept a different style, you know. Most people, and we're the only ones in the state doing cast iron, you know. Yeah. Pan pizza does not cook like regular carbon steel or like the aluminum style, does not cook the same way as the cast iron does.
That's for the Greeks.
And you don't get the crunch throughout the whole slice. So
right.
This, you get the crunch throughout the whole thing.
Right,
yeah.
The whole thing. So we are the only ones doing this statewide. And I know people make cast iron pizzas home, but their style is not the same as what we're doing. They're just really just taking a glob of dough and just stuffing it in a 12-inch skillet, you know, and they're cooking it. But, you know, their cooking time takes 12 to 15 minutes. Mine is done in 7. So, obviously, wow. We don't have the same amount of dough mass as you would when you're taking a ball of dough and just throwing it in the pan. So, yes, cast iron pizza's probably been around a long time from a home standpoint.
But not like this.
But not like this. Right.
And do you also sell it in New Haven or just here?
I do a little bit in New Haven because that's where I still practice sometimes. We do only serve it in the bar in New Haven, Sunday through Thursday. But, you know, it's harder to do it over there consistently because we don't really have the space.
Sure.
You know, this is dedicated. The oven here works differently. It's a different style of oven. But, you know, we only comes in one size. It's 12 inches. So it's more like you could say it's a New Haven cast iron bar style. You know, it's...
Yeah. It's really good. I mean,
oh, it's great.
It's got incredible taste, especially with this. What do you call this one again?
That's a Brooklyn style.
Brooklyn style. Like, I'm a sauce guy, and just the sauce is really good. It's super tasty, a little bit on the salty side, but I like salt. I mean, it's really, you know, it's a home run. And if you haven't tried it,
I just like that it's different. You know, it's a whole different thing. It's almost like an experience. Like when you come in and you see it in the pan and it's here, and yeah, it's great.
Look, you're gonna have a slice that's still warm even after 15 minutes.
That's maybe the best part.
You know,
it's not going to get cold.
And as the pizza sits here, it really does get better because it just it doesn't ever get floppy afterwards because it just sits here and it just continuously, like, the heat, you know, just slows down.
And it's probably really good to reheat too.
Yeah. I mean, they're good cold too. I mean, it's, you know, once you've got it at this level, you know, once you put anything in the refrigerator, it changes everything.
Sure.
You know, but if you were to leave it out for an hour or so, and you go taste it, it'll still be really crispy. And even these pizzas with the toppings on,
I'll tell you that the refrigerator doesn't change is the crack corn.
Does it even make it in there?
No.
Does he even make it to the fridge?
We had one guy that you can't see behind the scenes here, Ed. He's the guy that's doing all the video, and he started with a full basket of this, and it's all gone. He even ate the kernels. No lie. Tell him a little bit about it. I know I call this crack corn, but I don't know what the exact
name is. You're not far off. I mean, that seems to be the consensus now with everybody is calling it crack corn. I don't know if we all have to owe you any royalties for dumping it.
Well, we can talk about that.
So we do sell it by the bag, too, you know, because people come in. They love it so much, and they say, can we buy some? And I was like, sure enough, we have bags of it. So it was another thing that was created back in Trumbull.
You giving us the recipe or no?
No.
It's a secret. I like it.
So I created it eight years ago as something to give to the bar.
Yep.
Okay. And I worked on it and worked on it. And I just finally figured it out. And it's just been synonymous with the Cast Iron Chef brand, you know, because we give it out. And plus, it's gluten-free. You know, it's something that the whole concept behind of it was when we were giving it to the tables was we wanted something that we could give to the table right away.
Yep.
So as soon as you give somebody something right away, even if they don't want it, their fingers are going to go in there. What does it do? It buys you time. So they sit there. Now they have something to play with. And that's how it really was for, was to buy the servers an extra 5 minutes. Because yeah. once they have something at the table, they have water and that.
They're satisfied.
They're satisfied.
Yep.
To a point.
Yeah.
But it buys you some more time.
Totally.
And, you know, it's not bread. Bread will kill your appetite, where this does not kill your appetite.
Yeah.
It makes you salivate and gets you hungry.
Keeps you thirsty, which is
right.
good for the
So it's
the
good. You know, it works for two different things. And, you know, there's seven different spices here. I blend it myself. Now I get yeah. it. Now I get the spices made in bulk.
Like, are you the only one that knows the recipe?
Yes. My kids don't know it. Nobody knows it.
I like that.
Nobody.
Yeah, you got to keep
Someday
it
it'll be in my coffin. Let's see where Dad hit it. You know
the
what
Egyptians
I mean?
Had it wrong, though. You can't take it with you.
No, it's okay. I'll leave the message here.
But it's crazy. I mean, literally, you cannot stop eating it.
Well, that's part of the thing. So I call it the ultimate umami experience because it hits all these different senses.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a little bit of spice that hits you at the end, the sweet, the salty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the other spices going on. And it's, you know, it's a great thing. And, you know, when that whole COVID happened, you know, when we reopened, we were afraid, like, we wanted to find something to leave on the table that was not handled. Bread yeah. had to be handled. You had to cut
right.
it. So with all these worries that people had,
yep.
this, we didn't ever have to touch it.
Because you just scoop it,
you put in things. So it became also like healthy. Like we didn't have to worry about, you know, touching anyone's food.
Right,
and
right.
people were just so freaked out about everything. So that's how it also increased it also. And then we just stopped the bread and just gave the popcorn. And now that's our... Now we're just synonymous with the popcorn.
And it's a great little word of mouth thing. Like, oh, yeah, or as Frank says, the crack corn. You
know, so there's a local brewery up here in Woodbury who's now carrying.
Oh, smart.
Who buys the spices from me, yep. but he makes his own popcorn.
Yeah. It's awesome. Now tell us about.
I can't give it out.
Trying to get that secret, Frank.
I gave you the secret for the pizza.
I'm trying to soften him up, man. He ain't moving.
One secret per episode.
It takes a few more lumps to soften me up.
I've been smelling this whole entire time we've been recording because it's right in front of me. So tell us what this one is.
So this is Italian long hots with sausage. Same thing. We put the cheese on the bottom and the sauce.
Nice. Frank, you want to try one of these?
No.
He can't handle the hot pepper.
I'm trying, for me. It looks really good.
That's great. Now, what other, do you have any on your menu? Is there anything that you created that's like a specialty to your place, like topping-wise?
Or is it pretty standard? The pizza world is so...
Yeah, there's so many.
I mean... There's so many things that people are putting on pizzas today. I don't think anybody can say that they're doing anything special. I think it's not about doing anything different. You have to do what works for your style. And we try things that work for this style. You know, we're surprisingly shocked that the mashed potato pizza is like one of our top sellers. Mm.
Super popular around
okay.
here.
Huge one in New Haven, yeah.
And, you know, for me, it's not my personal favorite thing to put on a pizza.
But it sells.
But it sells. You know, I'm very simple. I like maybe one or two toppings.
Me too.
At the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you don't know. These days, anything works. And it depends on what part of the country you're in. You might have a Latin influence, an Asian influence, Italian influence on the East Coast.
Polish.
But I've seen people throw pierogies on pizzas now.
You got to put kielbasa and mustard on here.
But they've done it. I've seen, you see people do,
yeah,
you know, pastrami.
The St. Patrick's Day corned beef. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, bread. Almost every country uses some type of bread, you know, and, you know, you don't have to use tomato sauce, but you can make them white. You can pretty much put anything.
Yeah. I do feel like, unlike a standard pizza, you know, usually the more toppings you put, it's harder to cook it, and because it gets soft. But this, I feel like, would be substantial to toppings. Because
so we are crunch. Able to handle toppings with this pizza.
Yeah, because the pan.
That's
and everything.
Right. The way it cooks, the way it stays crispy, the dough, it holds up the toppings.
Totally. Yeah.
So that's one of the things that.
I mean, look at this. It doesn't weigh it down at all.
No,
like when
no.
It was on there.
So part of the thing is that, so when we put the dough in the pan, we also let it proof in the pan for about 30 to 40 seconds. Mm. So before we put anything on it, we've already got a little bit of the lift in the dough.
Starting to go.
It's starting. Yeah, bake. And that allows you to put toppings on it and not weigh it down. That's why we're able to hold it holds its integrity or whatever you want to call it.
Have you ever thought about putting the cracked corn on a pizza?
No,
just
but
as a fun thing.
We could. Well, we could call it the Zapsky special. I mean, we could do that. We could put kielbasa and
or you put
corn.
The secret seasoning.
So we put the seasoning on the wings.
Ooh. Oh, that would be good. Yeah. Do you cook the wings in the pans too?
No, we cook it in the fryer.
Oh, okay.
But we do serve it in a hot skillet.
Nice.
But this seasoning works really well on anything pretty much fried. Hmm. So if you put it on French fries, potato chips, obviously the popcorn.
Do you sell the seasoning? I know you won't give us the recipe, but
yes, everything's for sale. Just not the recipe.
That's smart. That's smart.
Everything has its price.
So you were on the VIP list for this flight down to DC. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, they needed somebody to represent cast iron. I mean, right. Everybody else is doing charcoal and coal and wood. I'm like, oh, I got to represent. It was a great experience. Look, I think it was a little surreal. I mean, I'd never been on the Capitol Hill steps. You know, it was a hot day down there. I burnt my head because I didn't think it was going to be that high. I didn't think I was going to have to stand on the steps that long, waiting for Rosa to come out. But I think at that moment, you don't even realize what's happening, you know. I know it's not like it was a law, but for a state like Connecticut, okay, it's not like we have much really.
Right.
I mean, we're always the little brother or the stepchild to New York
or
the Massachusetts.
Call it a pass-through state.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The only thing we're known for is the traffic on the 95.
Right, yeah, we need a fun claim to fame, yeah.
So to be mentioned at this level, you know, three major people brought all this exposure. Now it's a lot of people in New Haven, and I'm sorry, in Connecticut, are bringing exposure. You know, you don't just have to eat. And like Frank always says, you know, there's a lot of other places in Connecticut that are good also.
Definitely.
You don't have to just go to the big three, you know. And the tourists don't really know that, but the locals know where to go.
Yeah.
High tide rises all ships.
Right? Is that what they say?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good because everybody benefits.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. It's that we all benefit and we all get our 15 minutes in the spotlight.
Yep.
And whether we agree with everything
or
not.
You got a lot more than 15 minutes, kid, because you're not camera shy, man.
They wouldn't even let me talk because I don't have anything to say about it.
Yeah, and that's why you won't stop talking now.
No, it's a perfect podcast guest because then you can fill the time. It's great.
Did you bring any crack corn on the plane?
You know, I didn't think about it. Had you been there, you would have reminded me to say, Frank, you would have said it to Leo.
I wasn't on the list.
You weren't on the list. So now I know. I was saying that because I said to myself, I go, you know, Sally's did the little sandwich in the morning that we grabbed on the way. And I said, you know what would have been a great thing to have on it? Just have this cast iron popcorn. Oh, and the,
yeah.
I mean.
You could have given out a bag to every single person.
I mean, New England Brewery.
See, if you called me and asked me, I would have told you.
No, I didn't consult with you, Frank. I apologize.
And they'd
next
be asking
time.
To be
don't
popcorn,
hold it against
the popcorn stain.
I mean, I would have literally driven it down to the plane for you and
listen,
given it to you.
The last thing I needed was this getting more exposure than the pizza.
Right, then you're going to keep up with it. That's
that
a
wasn't
good point.
Something that I really wanted to do, you know?
Well, that's cool. That's a really cool experience as a pizza owner here in Connecticut to be
part
of that.
I'm not in the level of pizza as these people are. You know, I'm new to this game, and you know, I'm just adding my twist on my vision on a different style of pizza. It's just another flavor. in the realm of flavors. Like Baskin Robbins has 35, 36 flavors. Look, if everybody was just happy with vanilla and chocolate, they wouldn't have invented, you know, the other ones.
Exactly.
And I think as much as you love New Haven or whatever it is, you're always going to still like something else because we all get bored of eating the same stuff.
Yeah.
So it's nice to just put it in the mix and say, okay, well, we like New Haven, we like this, we like that, but we're just going to add cast iron now into the rotation.
Yep. And it is in the, like you were saying earlier, it is in the New Haven style because it's got the crunch, it's got the char.
It's very thin.
Yeah, it's New Haven style.
Right. It's not thick. You know, it has a good crisp. So even though you don't see the char on this, it still is very crispy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we do put a little oil on the bottom.
But there's still some char on here. Yeah, like you can
see, but you're not going to get that black because the oil in the pan protects the dough from
burning.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, in Italy now, they're taking fried dough, okay? They're frying the dough, then they're putting the sauce and cheese in, and then they're baking it.
Huh.
So it's called like a fried dough pizza.
Yeah.
And also they talk about that, you know, the fried Sicilian dough.
Yep.
So basically, we're doing the same thing, okay? Yep. So we're getting a little bit of the oil that's frying with the dough, but when you heat the oil up at a high, because the pan is so hot, when you put the oil there, the oil gets to that temperature just as fast. So when you put the dough, you're basically frying that little, for like 30 seconds, you're frying that dough. And you're getting that crispiness without getting that char.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Interesting, yeah.
So I'm able to replicate the crisp without the char.
Yeah.
You know, and there's really flavor getting into the dough, you know?
And this one's great. Because I love the hot,
oil
pizza. But I like the sausage too, but the hot oil with the
Kevin,
pepper,
I'm trying
peppers.
To teach you these things. It's sausage.
Sausage.
It went over there.
But yeah,
you got the sfacime.
He's trying to keep you PG. You're 13.
But yeah, it's great. This one's really good.
So tell us about this place, Claritas Village, Seymour. I mean, people can't see this, but we're sitting in front of a huge dance floor, DJ equipment. You got a stage. You got a huge bar. I mean, this is just more than, although obviously cast iron pizza is the big thing. You know, tell us what your vision is with this here, because that's obviously pretty big.
Well, look, the cast iron pizza concept really wasn't designed around entertainment. The original owner here started with entertainment. It was American Pie. My friend Phil was the owner. He did a great job with it.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was designed for entertainment, pizza, wings. And, you know, we just kept... You know, we do entertainment on Fridays. We do country line dancing on Saturdays.
Nice.
We do acoustic night. You know, we have this space, so we're just utilizing it. So, you know, it's cast iron with some entertainment, you know. But, you know, for the most part, it isn't the cast iron model is not to have entertainment. But we just happen to find a place that supports that kind of...
And it goes with the pizza sort of vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
right.
Great.
I mean, it's a very... Look, cast iron's casual. It's not... We're not pretending to be high-end. You know what I mean? It's a very casual, very family-friendly environment.
Knife and fork on cast iron or no?
No, I didn't give you a knife and fork, did I?
No, but...
There's a reason. No, but we do have that, you know. But, you know, it's... You know, we do entertainment. It is a fun place. It's great. You know,
I was here a couple of weeks ago with my family. It was packed.
Yeah.
On like a Tuesday or Wednesday night, service was great. You know, I mean, and like my wife, who, everyone's always on a diet, but she got like this double or triple decker hamburger, which was like enough to feed three people. So you have other food other than pizza.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, we do the burgers like we do in at the steakhouse, you know. We do wings. I do a couple Italian dishes here. We're very limited in what we could do here because of the kitchen space.
Mm-hmm.
The oven that we use and stuff takes up so much space, so we really don't have a lot of other space to do other things. But we do, you know, my mom makes the homemade, you know, lasagna here. We do a chicken parm with the vodka sauce and penne bake in the cast iron skillet. You know, we're trying different things. We're doing some fried seafood here. So it's, listen, we're learning. what the market wants.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only been 6-7 weeks. And, you know, it's going to evolve. You know, we do calzones also. You know, we have salads. We have desserts. Some pasta.
Crack corn.
Yeah, I got the crack corn. You know. But it's basically, you know, the cast iron pizza is a showpiece.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming on with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for coming.
One last thing. You just built a pizza truck. Or not a pizza truck, but you tell us about it.
So I have a food truck. We do the cast iron pizza in there. We also do steaks, raw bar, burgers, tacos. We do pretty much everything we do in New Haven and in Seymour out of a pizza truck.
And you're going to be at the Pizza Fest.
Yes.
August 11th.
I'm very excited for that. Very excited.
Is that like the highlight of your summer?
It is, yep. Yeah.
Ours too.
So we're going to actually, Crack Corn's making a special appearance that day too.
Ooh, nice.
We're actually bringing the kettle, so we're going to be making it there. So
nice. Fresh Crack Corn.
If you want to stand there and...
Yeah, Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest. You can get tickets.
You pay me.
Yeah, well, listen, I give you commission.
You can get tickets already, yeah. Go to ConnecticutPizzaAndBrewFest.com.
So are you excited about this Pizza Fest? Like, this is the second one now.
Yeah, second one. Thanks for asking the question.
And it's going to be bigger, right?
Bigger, better, stronger, faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year a lot of people don't realize that it was a really, like, the crappiest day of the year. Tornado warnings, and still it was a huge success. So we're excited. We've got over 20 pizza trucks, including yours.
Yeah, that's great. Last year, how many you had?
10 or 12.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I think 20-plus craft beer vendors, mm-hmm. two live bands. You know, it's going to be, you know, the biggest pizza, standalone pizza fest in Connecticut.
And what are you guys expecting this year? About 5,000?
Yeah, 3,000 to 5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in that Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. It's a great spot for it too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's a great place to have it. You know, you've done a great job with it and you spearheaded this.
Well, no, it wasn't just me. It was actually Kevin's idea, Connoisseur Media. They brought me in.
Okay.
So
yeah, we kind of partnered on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to take all, because there's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes, as you know.
No, but I'm saying you were one of the main,
yes.
You were the face of it. Whether you were the man really behind it, you were the face of it. And, you know, I tell you, it's a great honor to be a part of it. And we're excited because, look, Connecticut, with this now, with this award, not award, but with this stamp of approval, it's going to bring people from outside. We're only 40 minutes away from the border. New York. So, you know, you take a nice Saturday trip for an hour, hour and a half. It's worth coming up here. You know,
totally.
Take the ferry boat.
Seymour, cast iron.
Yeah, well, right? I mean, well, I'll be down there. So,
But that's what we were saying last episode. Like, it just helps the businesses here in Connecticut. You know,
listen, exposure never hurt anyone.
Right.
You know, and I think Frank's done a great job with exposing New Haven style pizza.
Definitely.
To a lot of people who were just purchasers of the product, but now they get to see how to make it. You actually have a better affinity for that product, knowing what it takes to make it.
Yeah.
And you
it's
know
a ton
he's
of
done
work.
But he's right. done a great job exposing people. Like, people didn't know. They just think it's Abitz. But what does it mean when you say Abitz? Well, Frank explains it to you, not just verbally, but you're part of now making it. Like,
yeah,
you
culture,
are part
yeah.
of it. It when you know how to make something, you appreciate it a little differently.
Totally.
Just like they tell you when you raise your own vegetables or animals, you know where it came from.
Yeah.
You look at things differently. And Frank's he is Mr. Abitz. Yeah, I mean, he is
well,
Mr.
I don't know
Abitz.
About that, but one
but
of them.
He's done listen, you've done a lot for people who have questions, who don't have to go with myths and all this stuff that gets said out there. Frank explains it to them, you know, because there's a lot of BS out there.
Oh, yeah.
With what New Haven style is.
Yep.
And to have somebody to look up to help you and give them the recipes, how to make the dough, and all. I see all the pictures that people post of what they do in their backyards.
Yeah, and you're right about the appreciation for it, because the first time I ever made pizza in my backyard after taking one of Frank's classes, I was like, these pizzerias, like, they're cranking out hundreds of pizzas.
Well, people don't realize, oh, it's an hour and a half, you know, they screwed up. Listen, we can't be perfect for 400 pizzas. I mean,
I made three pizzas, and
happen.
I was like, this is a ton of work.
You know what I mean? I think people, you know, sometimes don't give these places, you know, a little bit of slack. You know, we're humans, you know, and there's always that human element of, you know, those wood-fired ovens aren't perfect. No. The temperature changes all the time on those. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Definitely. All right, awesome. Matilio, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you
on
so
this
much,
episode.
Guys, for being here.
Yeah.
We appreciate
thank
it.
You, sir.
Thank you again.
Absolutely. Come try this cast iron pizza here in Seymour.
I just want to say thank you for being my host today.
Thanks
for letting me, you know.
I mean, if you look at the percentages, you probably got about 80. We might have 20. Maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but you got popcorn.
You can start your own crack show. Corn. Start your own show. Yeah, come get some of the crack corn, too. All right, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much. And make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast, YouTube, all the social media, and check out Cast Iron and here in Seymour, too. Thank you, and remember, it's not burnt.
It's charred, baby.
New Haven style pizza. Come and take a seat. A pizza.